Okay, here we go. And a one! And a two! And welcome to the Tales of the Longbox podcast. This is episode 305. Spotlight Jeez. On Marvel Comics, Generation X, number one, circa 2017. And I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard. There are 305 comics out there? No way.
Yes, there are at least that.
Oh my God! Who would have thunk?
Yes, our illustrious Canadian Murray is still recovering from his medical issues, and he said to go on without him. So that's what we're soldiering on. And
our in-house Canadian.
Yes, I know. It just popped in my head. We are continuing the mutant mayhem that has happened with the resurrection. Revitalization of the mutant titles. This time it's Generation
X.
Yes, Generation X this time, and I'm looking at the cover, and I'm seeing a couple of people with horns, and I have questions. But we'll continue.
Well, they'll all be answered in Fort Witt.
Yes, I know who Kid Omega is, sorta. I remember seeing him during the Phoenix thing.
Morrison run,
yeah, and the cuckoo stuff for cuckoos and things like that. But you got kids with horns. What's up with that, man?
That's Nature Girl and Morph, and then there's Eye Boy or Eye Lad up there, and Roxy on the bottom left, or Bling is her name.
Okay.
And I don't know who the guy is who looks like he's a magician putting on his gloves, but we'll
okay.
I'm sure we'll get to him.
Oh yeah, that was a Terry Austin cover. I just realized that.
No, it's Terry Dodson.
Dodson, my bad. Okay.
That's all good, man. It's all right.
All right. Yeah. So we got.
So we got Jubilee, we got Bling, we got Kid Omega, Nature Girl, Morph, Hindsight. That's who the guy who looks like a magician is on the cover. Mm-hmm. And Eye Boy. And let me see, Generation X. When Charles Xavier founded the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters, he did it with the express purpose of mentoring young mutants in the use of their powers to better the world that hates and fears them. Now, as former student Kitty Pryde takes charge as headmistress, Xavier's dream lives on for a new generation.
So, I like the Legion of Superheroes names that they've got. That's pretty cool. I totally missed that roll call before.
Yeah, over in the left, yeah. The one thing I don't know, or the three things I don't know, the two main creators. I don't know who Christina Strain is, and I don't know who the artist, Amilcar Pina.
Yeah,
is.
I'm going to say right up front that I had a problem with this. It was a bunch of characters that I lost contact with, and for example, Jubilee's a vampire still. Right, and she's got a kid, and I remember when that happened. Some point, I wasn't reading it then, and so yeah, she lost her powers and became a vampire. And then I know Kid Omega from some of that when it was the Jean Grey school back before they moved it to Limbo. I know he's supposed to be heavy duty, but I just had a problem. I had no a connection at all to these characters, so it was just like a really kind of a slog read for me. But I want to look through it again in a different point of view. Hopefully, I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, bear with me. My computer is just, or my reader decided to lock up on me.
That's fine.
Totally awesome. You know, give me a moment. So, this is after. They teleported the school from Limbo to Central Park in New York City.
Yep.
New York City, get a rope. All right. So, hey, look at it. It unlocked on me. I will say from the get go that the guy's art, this person's art is not my favorite. But
yeah, it's different. That's for sure.
All right. So when I was a kid, I always thought there's a text boxes here, and there's a Looks like Jubilee is running across the one of the open areas in Central Park, yelling out,
Yes.
"Shogo!" Shogo is her adopted child.
Oh, adopted. See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, she did not get knocked up. So when I was a kid, I always thought that at some point in my life, I'd feel like I knew what I was doing, where my life was going. Like as an adult, I'd finally have my crap together and things would just click. And yeah, well, guess what never happened. And she's running after a kid. Where are you, kid? I think I get now why people buy those little their kids, those cute little backpacks with the leashes. Oh,
yes.
I've felt that many a time. And
yes,
I thought,
so
hey,
I.
Parent, you should have your kid on a leash. But we never did it.
Well, I would have if I'd had a choice, but it was too late by the time I showed up to help.
So she's hanging out with Jono. What is
Chamber was his name, because I
Chamber,
remember him
Chamber.
Back from the first Generation X series that I read for maybe 2 seconds and before it got weird.
And she's hanging out with Jono, with Chamber, and he is reassuring her that the kid did not go very far. And yes, in fact, he's still looking for her. And the funny thing is, isn't he a telepath of some sort? I don't know. Doesn't matter.
He doesn't have a face.
Right.
Under that. And I guess that's how he communicates. I really don't remember him that much.
And she's all, I can't even remember to put on the same shoes. Of course I lost my kid. Why am I so bad at this? And he's saying, I'm sure Shogo's around here somewhere. And Jubilee, give yourself some credit. It's hard enough keeping yourself alive, let alone another person. You've come away since that mall rat I first met. And there's Shogo hiding behind a tree. And he changes sizes dramatically. First he's big behind the bushes. And now he's small enough for her to lift up, which is a artist choice.
You know, it's funny you said that mall rat thing. I was looking on Facebook and Jeremy Whitley, the one we interviewed that's doing the
Wasp.
Yes, Wasp. He put a thing on Facebook. It's said, I forget how he worded it, but if Jubilee was introduced now, what would she be? You know, obviously the Mallrats movie was her inspiration, and I thought that was interesting that he brought that up. Anyway,
She would be playing around on the Minecraft, probably, or Minecraft,
yep.
Whatever
That's
it's called.
Probably good. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
So Shogo tears off Jono's scarf, which exposes his flaming bottom of his head. Mm-hmm. And Shogo, you can't just expose Chamber like that. Phrasing, love, phrasing. Though it's nice to know my personal tragedy may be someone else's comedy. Crap. I'm late. Thanks, Jono. I owe you one. And she goes tearing off, leaving him all alone in the middle of Central Park. And by the way, he didn't meet her when she was a mall rat. She had already been with the X-Men for a few years, you know, real time, and probably, you know, a year of X-Men time by the time they met in the original Generation X series. Which, by the way, real quick, that was one of their first new titles in a long time, kind of in an attempt to almost revive the New Mutants concept. And they brought a bunch of untrained mutants to Xavier School, and it was taught by Emma Frost and what's his name? Banshee. I don't remember his name.
Oh,
but,
good Lord.
Yes. Anyhow, that's when Jono was introduced as an X character, and when Jubilee was downgraded from X-Men to student, so to speak.
I remember that.
So she keeps running through Central Park. A lot's changed since we were students, just students, even if it seems like it hasn't. And it looks like there's a tour going on. It says, destroyed in 2008, the Institute was rebuilt and renamed the Jean Grey School for Gifted Youngsters before being relocated here to Central Park. And there is a tour being led by Brew, who was a character from, oh, I don't remember the name of the series, New X-Men or New Young X-Men or Young New X-Men or...
Yeah, I think it was New X-Men.
Young and the Restless. I don't know. And he is a brood who's a mutant, and he's hyper intelligent, and he's kind of cute with his glasses on.
I
and
remember
stuff.
Asking you about him when there was X-Men and Wolverine series. That's when that was going on.
Yeah, he was hanging out at the school then too, and says, "Rechristened the Xavier Institute for Mutant Education and Outreach, this most recent incarnation acts as an embassy as well as a school, all for the purpose of building stronger ties between humans and the next generation of mutants." And there's a Quicksilver-looking guy walking through the school, dragging his suitcase behind him. And we get back to Jubilee's voiceover. "Here's to hoping it's changed for the better," meaning her life. This is a point of view stretch with that guy who looked kind of like Quicksilver. He's got silver hair and he wears gloves and kind of a little too good looking for his own good.
Yes.
And he is looking at some of the characters that we've seen as part of the X-Men in the past. We've got, Glob and Kid Apocalypse is there, who was recently hanging out with the new X-Men, the time transported ones, and just a bunch of ones that we've seen over the years and hanging out as students, and they're all in line at the drinking fountain.
Yeah.
And Blob is saying, because this is a see-through character. His skin is see-through, and you can see his skeleton at all times. I just couldn't any more with the contact lenses. I kept losing track of them when they were on my finger, like completely. Ha ha. And a couple people bump into each other, and this girl touches the silver hair kid's skin, and zip, there's like an exchange of some sort between the two of them with their skin contact. This is hard to read out loud, and he is reading her, so to speak. He's getting some insight into her. He's looking into her head. It turns out she's one of the cuckoos, who's one of the ones who dyed her hair red. And she talks in his head, psychometry.
Psychometry. Yes, psychometry.
Okay. Thank you. Psychometry, huh?
Sure.
"Interesting power, if not rude. Are you talking to you telepathically? Obviously. Where are you supposed to be right now? Show me your schedule." Clearly a cuckoo.
Yeah.
And he's thinking to himself, "Anywhere but here." And she says, out loud this time, "No need to be salty. Did you just read my thoughts? Telepathic, remember? Keep up. And in case you missed it, I'm Phoebe Cuckoo." And there's a panel where she looks almost Phoenix-like.
Yeah, she does, doesn't she?
With the red hair and the halo and stuff. Yikes, kind of spooky. And she says, "You're welcome." And she says, "Calling in the cavalry." And by cavalry, I mean Sad Nerd, Nathaniel Carver. "Meet Benjamin Deeds, your classmate." And another guy walks up, looking kind of, I don't know, shy.
Yes.
Or if he said Sad Nerd.
Emo.
And we switch scenes again. We're back to Jubilee. She's carrying Shogo around, and she meets up with Kitty Pryde. "And sorry, I'm late." "No worries, Jubes. Between budgeting, scheduling, invite-only test tours, and moderating arguments between Henry and Rachel over whether or not the non-recyclable coffee pods in the teacher's lounge, blah, 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 blah." She's lost all sense of time and space. "So you've been, I'm not entirely sure. I was thinking taking on team leader and headmaster responsibilities all at the same time, but hope I'm starting to get the hang of things. How are you feeling since Yano, I don't know, whatever that is, and bought some voodoo dolls, burned his photos." Oh, I have no idea. "Feeling since Yano. Asked the universe to give Peter Quill the world's biggest kidney stone. I'm great." For a while there, just so those who know, Kitty Pryde was engaged to Peter Quill of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Really? Engaged? I didn't know it went engaged. That far.
Yes. Huh. Then they broke up. when she decided after Civil War II to stick around on Earth.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, that's her background. She was hanging out with the Guardians for a while. She was
Star-Lord for a while, wasn't she?
Star-Lord for a few seconds, yes. So,
back when they thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, so Jubilee's handing Shogo a bottle of something. She says, fine. Shogo's gotten really good at running away from me, but I'm trying not to take it to heart. And she's handing Shogo the wrong bottle, something red. Oh, it's blood, blah, blah. Because as you said before, she is a vampire.
And I assume that necklace that she's wearing is some kind of thing that keeps her from bursting into flames. I'll look it up on Wikipedia. Yeah. I was just looking up chamber.
So with everything you've got going on right now, I'm totally understanding if it's just too much. No, I'm good. Just nervous. But I'll be a good mentor, I swear. And I'm really excited to teach these kids what it takes to be one of the X-Men. It'll be great. And Kitty's like, about that. And Jubilee's like, got a what the fuck look on her face. And then we switch back to those two boys getting their tour of the place. And the guy, the psychometry guy, is saying, so is everyone here as intense as the girl back there? Who, Phoebe? No. Well, I mean, she's probably the most intense cuckoo sister, but they were all cloned from Emma Frost, so it's kind of hard to say. And all of a sudden, the emo guy has changed his look, and he looks just like the guy he's giving the tour to. And he's, sorry, I morph into other people. I usually have it under control, but this uniform's killing me, and my focus must come in handy when you're touching up photos for dating apps. I hadn't considered that. Seriously? So he can change his look to look like anybody near him. Not like the morph from before. The morph from the olden days, he copied the powers of those around him. If for those who are old school X-Men fans, or what was that one where they jumped around time and space? There was a morph in there as well. Anyhow, you still there?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was reading on Jubilee. My bad.
Oh, okay. And all of a sudden, we see Bling flying through a wall. Bam! Huh. I guess you really are as durable as advertised, Bling. Quit inquire, you, she says. Magnificent SOB. I know. Or at least I was before you scuffed my bespoke Berluties. Even I had to wait 6 months to get him. I told you it was an accident. 6 months, Roxy.
I don't like that kid. But
Kid Omega?
Yes, I don't like him. Okay, well, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, Quentin Quire is not the likable character. Never has been, never will be.
Okay, good deal.
And all of a sudden, a bunch of geese come flying through the wall. Holy crap, Lindley. Damn it, what? I think I-Boy and Nature Girl are in there. I said we had to suppress Quentin, not kill him. And Nature Girl's in there. She's the one with the horns in her head, and she can talk to animals, kind of like Squirrel Girl talks to squirrels. And there's Eye Boy in there covering up, I don't know what he's doing, his ears maybe? Gross. And there's a fight going on in the classroom, and Quentin Quire or Kid Omega's taking out geese. That's pretty badass of him. And they're all going up against him. You owe me new brogues. I don't even know what the hell those are. His old man shoes, says I-Boy. $10,000 old man shoes. Bull, no one's stupid enough to pay that much for shoes. And there's fights. Fight. Itchy and scratchy. Sorry. So... the new kid, the psychometry guy, tackles Quentin Quire to keep him from getting hit by a falling, I guess, chandelier?
Yeah.
Or no, light fixture, yeah, right above him. And Quentin Quire punches him. Get the fuck off me. And as he punches him, he gets some insight into Quentin Quire.
Jerk.
Yes. And this is, it shows us some flashes of when he was kind of a nice guy, when he was kind of trying to fit in. And that didn't work out because Idy left him. We don't know whatever happened to her. She joined, she was with the new X-Men for a while, but she's kind of fallen off the map. Mm. Hold on. Water. Water. Need some water. Now, there we go. And he does his thing. He makes a little gun out of psycho energy, and he's about to shoot the new kid, the psychometry kid, and Roxy's about to punch him, but then he gets, I guess he does get punched by Roxy, oh, and yeah, he flies through a bunch of geese, and then in walks Kitty Pryde and Jubilee, who's still holding the kid. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And Kitty Pryde saying, get up, and my foot, get up, and my foot will be up your ass. So she's basically telling Quentin, stay on the floor. Mm-hmm. That's Kitty Pryde, by the way, who's saying that.
Yes.
And Jubilee saying all of this over a pair of stupid loafers, brogues that I wore once. How's I Spy the only one who knows anything about shoes? I told you it was an accident, Choir, says Roxy. And the new kid is just looking, you know, like, what the fuck is going on around here? And so is throwing through you through a wall, Roxy, says Choir to, this is hard to read. And yeah, iBoy is looking out the window, and he's up, and somebody's asking him, wait, what are you looking at, Trevor? And that's to iBoy. Nothing. Just thought I saw something, but it was nothing. And the new kid is leaving. He's like, I've seen enough. I'm out.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Yep, I don't either. And Jubilee says, you know what, guys? How about you pick up where we left off tomorrow? How about we pick up where we left off tomorrow? Class dismissed. Except you, Quentin. Hang back, says Kitty Pryde. And she starts lecturing Quentin. Look, I said you could come back, but on my terms. But being that you don't destroy the school, you can't be pissed at me. I paid for most of this, says Choir. Your donation's been spent, Quentin. Fine, no need to beg, Miss Pryde. I'll cover the repairs. No, you're going to fix it, says Kitty. What? What? You came to us this time, Choir. If you want to stay, prove it. Start by cleaning this up. Alone, this whole room, everything's covered in goose turds. For an Omega-level mutant, you sure do whine a lot. Whatever, he says. And someone is watching him through infrared binoculars, and he's looking petulant, as he always does. Mm-hmm. And Jubilee's chasing after the new guy. She says, Nathaniel, wait up. I swear, not every day is going to be like, if I wanted to deal with getting punched and watching people shove their feet up other people's asses, I would have stayed in Texas. That was a good line. Okay, I'll give him that. She says, I know Kitty phasing her foot through Quentin was hardcore, but she never would have actually gone solid on him, in him, whatever. She was just trying to make a point. So am I, he says. I don't belong here. And then the other students who were in the classroom are outside. They're like, hey, what's going on over there? Is that really any of our business? New kids leaving, obviously. And Jubilee is thinking to herself, okay, so maybe I still have no clue what I'm doing or saying, but I've heard this before. Jono would probably disagree, but I'm not the only one who's changed around here, because he once said, nobody wants to be alone, not even we monsters. And he's not. Not anymore, anyway. And she says to the psychometry boy, who I guess is hindsight, just so I can.
Yeah, it's hindsight.
I don't have to say psychometry anymore.
No, that's fine.
She says, look, I get it. Place is a little crazy, okay? A lot crazy. But aren't you tired of hiding? The whole reason I came to the Institute, she says, was because I never belonged out there. And I'm guessing the same goes for you, right? And he's looking pensive. Love that word, pensive, just, you know, so I had to find a place to put it in. And then Roxy walks up, or Roxy's still talking to her friend. She says, all I'm saying is the guy never even unpacked. Yeah, but he didn't even have time to stop by his room.
Yeah, no kidding, guys.
Guys didn't have time or didn't want to. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of guys start opening up their jackets. They've got the little purifier uniforms underneath, and Jubilee's still talking to Hindsight. Look, just give us a fair chance before you... Jubilee, look out! And I boys saw the tour group. What's up with that geriatric boy band? Oh no, purifiers! We shall purge the earth of mutant plague. And it really is a bunch of old guys with guns. Yeah. They really are all. And it's to be continued. And that was a tough read.
Yeah, it was. It was just as bad the second time.
I guess you will not be joining them for issues 2, 3, and 4, and so on.
I've got number 2 downloaded, it looks like. I was just going to look at it, but I don't know. Yeah, with the gold team and the blue team, there's a connection there to some point, especially X-Men Gold, because I grew up with a lot of those characters.
Right.
But, I barely knew Jubilee before I think I stopped reading it. And then...
80s X-Men.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I don't know, I hate vampires. I'm sorry. Ever since I was a kid, I hate vampires. And she's good and all, but I just don't have any interest in it. I read X-Men, Iceman number 1 this morning. Just bored to tears. Personally. But that's just me.
Okay. All right.
I want to see, if I read a comic book, it's escapism for me. And it needs to be fun. And I don't want to see a whole entire comic of Iceman dating boy or a girl or drama like that. The personal life thing I have no interest in. If I want to watch something like that, then I got plenty of drama right here at the house that I don't have to pay $4 for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I actually enjoyed Iceman, but we can talk about that some other week. But this one, I get that I don't have any connection to any of these characters. I know who they are because I've caught snippets of them here and there over the last few years in other X-Men books, and I think I'm usually against this kind of thing, but maybe a slower bleed into this book would have been better.
Yeah.
Introduce the characters a little more one at a time rather than the huge info dump, because at the end of this issue, I don't care about any of them enough to want to. I mean, if I was picking this up cold and didn't know who they were, I would never pick up the second issue because I don't know enough about any of them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. At least with Weapon X, it was somewhat interesting. I wanted to, see what happened.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, and this comes down to editing and writing. The writer is clearly new to this kind of this setting. Never heard of her. And the editor should have worked with them to create a better story. And over on Weapon X, that's Greg Pak. I mean, he's a veteran mainstream comic book writer. So
and a good one.
Yeah, I mean, so he knows what pace. He knows how to pace it. He knows how to introduce his characters in a timely way. Though he might be going he's on the flip side for me a little bit. He's almost going too slow with Weapon X. But
yeah, I could see that.
But that's just me being, wanting my cake and eating it too. I don't want it to go at this pace. I don't want it to go at that pace.
Yeah, I get you.
There's a middle ground, and some writers, have found it. I think the X-Men Gold is a good example of the writer who's found the good pace. I think that's Dennis Hopeless, I think, on that one.
No, it's not. Mark and Drake, Guggenheim.
Yeah, yeah, Hopeless is doing Blue. Is doing X-Men Blue. So,
No, Hopeless Blue is Cullen Bunn.
Oh. What is Hopeless doing?
Hopeless is, and I've read it, I just, he's doing the Jean Grey book.
Oh, Yeah. Okay. Well, that's easy. You only have to introduce one character.
Yeah, so. Exactly. But no, I remember one of the reasons I remember Cullen Bunn because I talked to him about it when we were at Planet Comic Con a couple of months, weeks ago. But okay. Yeah.
Anyhow, so it's this editor writer need to figure out the pacing in this book because
it's, you know me,
I'm the first to bitch when too little information is given, but if you're going to give a lot of information, you got to give context. You got to give the novice reader an opportunity to get to like these characters enough to pay, as you said, $4 for the next issue and then $4 for the issue after that.
Yeah. And I think there was other things in there that they should have maybe expanded on, like the bottle of blood. If you've never seen that character before, you're not going to understand that, right?
Nope.
Because they didn't mention her being a vampire at all.
Nope.
And I read the entry on her. Apparently, she was bitten by Dracula's son. I forget his name. And she was with some group of vampires that had learned to crave their hunger and other things and develop the ability to be out in the daylight. So they just seem to focus on that necklace. But so I guess she got that ability to be in sunlight through that, but she has all those other powers. She, you know, whatever. So I don't know. Is she not? I have a feeling though that Kitty's not going to let her be a teacher though. I think that's what she was going to talk about right before it hit the fan.
Yeah, and that's what happens in issue two. It turns out that I don't know what she's going to be. I've already forgotten. That's how much I care. I've already forgotten what happened in issue two.
I'm gonna glance through it since I've already got it downloaded, just to see about it. But
yeah, she didn't. She's not doing exactly what she thought she would be doing.
I had a feeling.
Yes.
But anyway.
So that's Generation X. It's not the high point of Resurrection. That's for damn certain.
No.
I've read worse comics, but
so have I.
As I look and I can't read 20 comics a week. I just don't have that kind of capacity, and this is not going to get any more of my time.
No, I'm
probably.
I'm gonna look for this second issue since it's like right in front of me, but after that,
Yeah, because one of the things that they're going to deal with, I think, over in X-Men Gold is this school sitting in the middle of New York City. They're starting to deal with some of that over there.
That's a very interesting concept, I thought.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to deal with that over in this book. That's not what this book is about. I get that. But anyhow, we're picking on it. I get that there's...
Yeah, I'm sure
there's some good stuff in there. She's using some of the characters that I have liked in the past that have been, we've seen some potential from the Cuckoos. I've always thought that they were an interesting concept from way back in the Grant Morrison days.
Yes, it is.
Shockingly, I like iBoy. One of the writers, I don't remember who it was, but they kind of did this issue of the book they're working on about 2 years ago where they flashed to the future.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was being utilized as like an overseer of the whole world. He was up in a satellite and he was able, he was utilizing all the fact that he has eyes all over his body, and he figured out how to adjust them so some eyes would see certain vibrational frequencies. So he was a very, very cool use of the character.
Yeah, it is.
And then I know he's a pain in the ass, but I like Quentin Quire. But I like it, but it almost feels like they're reverting him back to being the hardcore pain in the ass. He had kind of matured past that at a certain point. And I liked him in that role.
Yeah.
But now unfortunately, it seems like they're bringing him back to being a dick.
Yeah.
Read the last two issues of Mighty Thor. for a good example of Quentin Quire.
Yeah, I found those and was looking at it too, so that seems interesting.
Yeah, that's a good use of him. And when he appeared briefly in Jean Grey, he was also pretty cool in there. But this not so much. All right, yeah. I'm done. I can't do anymore.
No, okay, that's cool. Let's close that. Let's see. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelawnbox.com and let us know what you think there. Or you can post some crap on the Facebook stuff and things and junk. And as always, you can add comments to the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And that is it for us this week. And we are out.